hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You know, there's been times that we've talked about prayer and we've talked about God answering prayer. And isn't it fantastic when God answers prayer? How many of you believe that God answers prayer? Amen. Well, did you know that there are prayers that God's obligated to answer? Did you also know there's prayers that God just does not answer? Prayers actually that He has no obligation to answer. Father, I ask now that You would bless these next few minutes of time as we explore this Word. And we thank You for what You're going to do today in Jesus' name. Amen. I said there were prayers that God's obligated to answer. And I want to just give you one today, one example of a prayer that God is obligated to answer. Now, I know there are some people think, well, I can pray any prayer and God hears my prayer and He's going to answer my prayer. If I have enough faith, He's going to answer my prayer. But there is a prayer that God is obligated to answer. By His Word, He is obligated to answer. You know, sometimes we try to put God in a box and say that God has to do things the way we think He should do things. And that's when we run into trouble, when we try to put God in a box and say, God, You're going to do it the way I think You ought to do it. And, you know, jump through my hoops. Now, it doesn't work that way. But there is a prayer that He is obligated by His own Word to answer. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 tells us what that is. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. And it says, For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When you come and you bow before God, whether you get down on your knees, whether you're standing somewhere, whether you're whispering, whether you're yelling out loud, whether your eyes are closed or open, whether or not you're driving down the road, it doesn't matter what you are. If when you come and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin, I accept You as my personal Savior, that prayer God is obligated to answer. When He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross of Calvary, that He would shed His blood for the sins of the world, He obligated Himself to answer the sinner's cry when he cries out for salvation. Now that same sinner can cry out for a lot of other things, and God's not obligated to answer those things. In fact, actually, there's a verse in there, and I didn't put it down, but where it said He doesn't have to hear what the sinner has to say. But when that sinner cries out and says, forgive me of my sin, God said, I'm obligated to hear that prayer. I'm going to reach out. Whether He answers any other prayer or not, He is obligated to answer that prayer. Now, as I said, sometimes we try to put God in the box. And we try to say God has to answer certain prayers when He is not obligated to do so. That's the only one I can find that is absolutely obligation is there. That He says, I have to answer that one. Because otherwise, if He did not obligate Himself to answer that prayer, then Jesus' death on the cross was of no value. Because it said Jesus came to die for the sins of the world. Now, by the same token, you're obligated to cry out if you want to be saved. You can't just look back and say, well, Jesus died on the cross, so therefore I'm saved. No, He died on the cross that you could be saved, but you are obligated to cry out for salvation.
Amen. Thank you.
So it's a two-way street there. You're obligated to cry out, and when you cry out, God is obligated to answer.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
God hears and answers our prayers. But He doesn't always do it the way that we want Him to do it. And that's the part we seem to have problems with, is God doesn't always do it the way we think He ought to do it. I mentioned once before about the guy that said, prayed, God, give me patience. And I want it right now. You know, we sometimes put little demands onto there, the stuff that God says, hey, I don't have to do it that way. And sometimes God, just to teach us a lesson, answers a prayer once in a while, then we wish he hadn't have. You know? Sometimes he teaches us a lesson. 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." It says, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Doesn't say he's going to give us an immediate answer, but says he hears us. But the kicker there, the catch is, according to his will. And there are a lot of prayers that get prayed that are not according to God's will. If you pray for something and it doesn't go along with the will of God, then you better wrap it up, because it's not going to get answered. So many times we pray according to our own will and our own desires. We mentioned last Sunday about prayers that were prayed amiss. And he's not obligated to answer a prayer that's prayed amiss, or a request that's asked amiss. And I mentioned as an example, and I've had people stand in church and in Sunday school class and make this prayer request: please pray that I'll win the lottery because I can do so much good for the church. You know what? All the years that they've had lotteries, I have yet to hear but maybe one case of somebody who actually took that great big winning and really did something for a church somewhere. Because once they get that money, if they should win, all other things come along. God's not obligated to answer a prayer like that. Because if he answered that prayer for one person, he'd all of a sudden be obligated to answer that prayer for everybody else that prayed for it. So there are a lot of times we ask for stuff, and God doesn't answer our prayer because we're asking out of the will of God. We're asking amiss. In fact, in James chapter 4, verse 3, which I believe we read last week, James chapter 4, verse 3, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." There are prayers that get prayed that if God answered them, you'd find out. Well, let me put it very bluntly. You probably end up finding yourself on the road to hell. And I've known examples of prayers that have been answered, and people's lives that have been spared. It would have been better off had they died then, because they would have gone to heaven. But they lived, and they lost out with God. There are prayers that don't get answered. Does that mean that God doesn't care about us? No, God cares about us. That's why he doesn't answer some prayers. Because he cares about us. He knows what kind of a fix we'd get ourselves into if he answered that prayer. Jesus himself said there were some prayers that were not his to answer. Whoa, is that in the Bible? Yeah, Jesus said that. And what is prayer to start with? It's a communication with God. When we're making a prayer request, we're simply asking God to do something. Just if I went up to Brother Art and said, "Brother Art, can you loan me $50 till payday?" I'd be making a request from him. Now, I'm sure if Brother Art had $50, he'd probably say, "Yeah, I can loan it to you to payday, but you give me back 75. No. There are people that would do that, though. But that's what it is. It's asking a request of somebody. If he had it, and he thought I was a nice, trustworthy person, he might loan it to me. But if he didn't have it, he'd say, "I'm sorry, I can't do it. I'm not able to do so." There are some things that Jesus himself said, I can't do. They're not mine to grant. Matthew chapter 20, beginning with verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him, and desiring a certain thing of him. Now remember here, this is a request. It's just the same thing as if it were a prayer request. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? And she said unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand, and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, You know not what ye ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, We are able. Let's face it. Sometimes when we start to pray for certain things, are we sure what we're getting into? As he said here, this request, are you able to do some of these things? Are you able to do it? But he goes on. And he said unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. So there are certain requests that only Father God can answer. There are certain things that Jesus himself, it is God the Father's business who this goes to or how it turns out. And God's not obligated to answer unwise and foolish prayers. Jonah, we all know about the prophet Jonah. Fairly short book in the Bible. Prophet of God. God speaks to him, says, Go to Nineveh, preach to the people. If they don't repent, I'm going to destroy them. If they repent, I'll save them. I won't destroy them. Jonah, in his own heart, thinks, I'd like to see them destroyed. The world would be a better place if they were gone. Because, let's face it, they were not on friendly terms. So Jonah gets on the boat, goes the opposite way. He said, Nineveh's east, I'm going west. And there the twain shall meet. And you know the story. He ended up, storm, tossed overboard, spends 3 nights and 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the whale. While Jonah's in the belly of the whale, or the great fish, as the Bible actually tells us, he does some praying. Well, I'll bet you, if you were in the belly of a great fish, you'd do some praying too. There's a lot of circumstances we get ourselves into. We suddenly learn how to pray. We pray desperately. And he's doing some desperate praying. I mean, he's probably sweating in there, wiping the seaweed off his brow as he prays. And he says in chapter 4, verse 3, Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. For it is better for me to die than to live. God, I'm here in the belly of this great fish. Just take me now. People sometimes get tempted to pray that kind of prayer. God, I'm going through this trial in my life. I'd just be better off if you just killed me now. But God has a purpose for you, and he will take you when it is your time to go. But Jonah's praying, just take me now. God had a purpose and a plan for Jonah, and that purpose and plan was to go to Nineveh and preach repentance. And God wasn't about to let him die in the belly of that fish. Because he had that fish swim up to the shore, vomit Jonah up on the beach, close enough that Jonah took off running, and he made it to Nineveh in short time. But it was a foolish prayer. God, just get me out of this, or just kill me now. And I know there are times that we go through things in our lives where we feel it'd just be better off if I died now. You know, like George Bailey in A Wonderful Life, I'd been better off if I had not been born. But God has a purpose and a plan for us. And we were born for a reason. And unfortunately, we're now living in a society where people who should have been born are not born. And some of the mess that we face as a world today may be because we've killed so many of the unborn. Because look back, some of the great men of history, those who composed great music, those who brought about scientific inventions, some of them, because of the situation they were born into, a lot of people would have said they should have been aborted. But they were not. And we have what they contributed to the world. Because God has a purpose for each life that is prepared to come into this world. So God's not going to answer a foolish prayer. Elijah, in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. I mean, Ahab and Jezebel, they're on a rampage against the men and women of God, prophets. They're killing them left and right. And in verse 4, Elijah's been threatened. He's fled into the wilderness. It says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. It's enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. God, they've killed all the other prophets. I'm here alone sitting under this juniper tree. Just take my life from me. God, you take it. Because if they come and they kill me, it's not going to be a merciful death. God, just take me now. But that wasn't God's plan. That wasn't God's will. And God's not going to answer that kind of a prayer. And yet we still find people praying those kind of prayers today. God, do this or do that in my life. God's not obligated. And God doesn't answer foolish and unwise prayers. And unfortunately, there are a lot of foolish and unwise prayers that are prayed today. And probably, myself included, every one of us, if at some time in our life, probably prayed an unwise or a foolish prayer. Because that's human nature. So when we think about, well, my prayer didn't get answered. Well, there are a number of reasons why maybe your prayer didn't get answered. Maybe it's not God's time. Or maybe it was an unwise or foolish prayer. If you pray a wise prayer, a prayer in desperation before God for something that's in God's will, your prayer will get answered. It may take time. Because God's going to do it in His time. But we need to make sure that when we pray, we're praying in the will of God. In the will of God. And I'm thankful that there are some of the prayers I prayed that God didn't answer. Down the road, I saw why God didn't answer that prayer. And I was sure glad He didn't. God loves us. And He cares about us. and He wants to take care of us. Just as you as parents take care of your children as they're growing up, and you continue to try to take care of them. You know, that's just a parent, you know. You want to look out for your kids. Reese and Katrina have young kids, and should the Lord tarry 50 years from now, they'll still be trying to take care of them just like they were their babies, because they will always be their babies. Those of you that have now great-grandchildren, some of you, you look at your son or daughter, though, and that's still your baby, even though they have grandchildren of their own. And you want to take care of them. You want to be close to them. You want to have that relationship with them. That's how God looks at us. Because when we're born into His family through the blood of Jesus Christ, we become that part, and He loves us and He cares about us so much. And He wants to take care of us. But just like it is with a family here on earth, sometimes our kids don't want to be taken care of. And sometimes they don't want to have anything to do with us. And sometimes they go away that we don't want them to go. And so it is with the family of God. Sometimes His children stray and they go down the wrong path. But He does love them and care about them and wants to take care of them and tries to steer them in the right direction. God doesn't force anybody to be saved. But that doesn't mean He doesn't love them. He doesn't care about them. That's why He doesn't answer foolish and unwise prayers. Because some of them have prayed some very foolish and unwise prayers. Just as we are on our way to heaven and we're doing our best to serve God, even we do it. And those who are without God, they do it even more so. But God loves them. And He cares about them. Father, I just ask now that as we've shared the word this morning, Father, that it would have touched lives, Father, that it would have met needs, Father, and changed lives. And Father, if there's anybody that's listening to this message that's not here in this congregation this morning, but listening by internet or by CD or however, Father, and they need Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I just pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts today. Are there someone listening that's prayed a foolish prayer and they have wondered why God hasn't answered their prayer and they've rebelled almost because of that? Help them to realize it was because of your love that you didn't answer that prayer. And Father, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.